Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Rad Life on OC Talk Radio, brought to you, produced by Golden State Media Group. Golden State Media Group is a company that I am partner in that has currently three shows on the air, Rad Life being the one that's the oldest running, now coming on 4 years. We have Check Out California, that's almost coming on 2 years. Let's focus on the California hospitality industry and tourism. And we have a new one that launched about a month ago called Selling the Lux Life that we had an on-location episode of today and earlier in the morning. So,
you know what we need? We need something that plays like the NBC bum, bum, bum. When you say Golden State Media, we should have like a little musical tag.
Bum, bum, bum.
Well, I don't know if it's bum, bum,
yeah,
bum.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe something a little less explosive.
Right.
So, but I get you. Okay, so we'll put that on our to-do
musical
list.
Musical tag, yeah. An ID, right.
And for those who are listening and hearing a voice but not seeing a face, that is Mr. Paul Roberts that makes it all happen at the board.
I do make it all happen.
You make it all happen.
It's amazing what goes on 5 minutes before the show. Everybody's looking around frantically, and then Rod just walks and says, hi, let's start the show.
And then sometimes he actually lets me have a do the show. So not only does he make it all happen, but then sometimes he gets out of the room and let me have a show. So
like that, today. You've got some big heavy hitters with you today.
Like today. Well, I do want to actually welcome to the show. We have one of my guests is going to be joining us by phone. And that is Ms. Patricia Will from Belmont Village Senior Living, co-founder. And Patricia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling from, Patricia? Or where we called you?
You called me in Houston, Texas. Just got back here and I'm headed back to Orange County tomorrow.
Okay, well, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And in studio, actually, I also have Ms. Paula Limkill. That is she's the Communication Relations Associate for Belmont Village in Aliso Viejo, just down the street from here.
That's right.
So, welcome, ladies. Thanks for joining me. I am excited about this because we started off this show 4 years ago with very much a focus on seniors. We had Casey Kasem's daughter, Carrie, as my first guest, and we talked about elder abuse, and we have covered everything from, you know, dementia, hospice, you name it, along with other stuff.
All the fun topics,
all the lighthearted stuff. And the industry has changed, definitely, even in the last 4 years. It continues to change. It continues to evolve, especially in areas of focus like dementia and Alzheimer's, where new stuff happening all the time. And it's sort of exciting, if that word really applies, actually. And I'm sure with the senior living as well, I know from my sort of 9-to-5 as a designer, commercial and hospitality designer, that a lot of the stuff that we had been doing and have been doing in wellness and hospitality for years on the higher end is now starting to filter into senior living as well, as the clients become or guests become more astute, a little bit more selective in what is out there. And at one point it used to be pretty much just, you know, if you have a place, it's great and it's the convenience and the location, but people are becoming a little bit more particular, especially given that most of this is paid through savings or family assets. In correct me if I'm wrong, is that the case, Patricia?
That is the case. Yeah. I'd say across the industry, probably 85% of individuals or their families pay for themselves.
And for those who don't know, what makes a person, so like, I mean, obviously, you know, quality of service and care, things of that nature. Is there, I've heard, I kind of know the answer, but I want you guys to answer it. But, you know, is there something regarding location, like proximity to something, that becomes a factor in when people decide what facility, what location? I don't even want to call it facility. It seems to be like
community.
Yeah. What community people select to basically have a loved one in or a significant other, you know, like a spouse. Is location an important factor in that decision?
Overwhelmingly, people choose to themselves choose to be in the neighborhoods where they lived prior to entering a community, or in a neighborhood that is close to where their children and grandchildren are.
Can you touch a little bit more, expand a little bit more, Patricia, on that first part, please? Why do people do that?
People who have raised their families in a neighborhood, who have been part of the fiber of the neighborhood, working, doing Little League, in the PTA, at the country club, volunteerism, want to continue to be a part of that community as they become an elder senior.
So you,
I often call us a community within a community,
right,
where we are, our seniors continue to be a very vibrant part of the community that they raise their families in.
Well, and the reason I'm kind of harping on this a little bit and is because sometimes it doesn't get covered. This is sort of one of those things that sometimes you don't see being really discussed, as in familiarity of surroundings, existing and surviving support systems, to your point. And the fact that somebody is now just at a senior level or looking for senior housing, that those are still factors for their social component, important for their health and well-being, that they really want to still be connected to. And so that old adage, it used to be that people basically moved inland to the desert, you know, the old Del Webb kind of model where you moved away from where you were, you sold, you downsized, you moved away. Sometimes that's almost counterintuitive to what on the emotional and the support side a lot of these people are looking for when they are transitioning into that. Would you agree?
I would agree totally, and then I would further say that mobility becomes more constrained. So not only being closer to all of those things, but also being closer to family, it's much harder maybe to get on an airplane and or drive a car. So you want to be integrated still into what you hold dearest, and that is terribly important, and it's really true for sure in California and there in Orange County, but really across the country.
You're also touching on, I think, is also the independence factor.
Right.
That is a way for them to maintain and continue to have a sense of independence to some degree, maybe a diminished degree, but still hold on to that. And I think that's even probably more critical with as we experience a transition in demographics in terms of who the people are that are now transitioning to senior housing. There may be personality types that are, you know, I'm say baby boomers, they're a little bit more, you know, wanting to hold fast to that independence as long as possible and dignity that comes with that, sort of self-determination, if you will.
Yeah, that's even true for the generation that we've been serving for the last, call it 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
The idea of entering into a seniors housing community first is to see it as an opportunity to continue life. There may be some changes, but the fact is that what we provide is the hospitality, infrastructure to maintain independence, mobility to get out into the community, and very, very engaging activities to bring the community in.
Right.
And that's all about fostering independence.
Well, and you guys, I mean, if that is the proper way of defining it, but your business model, if you will, your offerings model for your communities is different. And I mean, you guys have been recognized by Fortune Magazine, 50 Best Workplaces for Aging Services. You have, like you said, a community approach to this, a great place to work, and it translates all the way through. I mean, and anybody who has any idea as far as service or care, or, you know, like even on a hospitality side, if it is a place that is actually appreciated by those who work there, that resonates into everything they touch and they are involved in. And so that is a big deal, and you guys have a very unique approach. So I know you established this a while back, and so can you give us a little bit of background on Belmont Village, give us a little bit of what makes it unique, how you guys approach senior living?
Absolutely. First of all, we believe that, as I said, we entered the business to make a change of paradigm and not look at aging, and in particular old age, as a problem, but rather an opportunity. In order to be able to do that, we looked hard at what our product offerings ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike many providers that segregate into a particular stage of
Care.
Realty.
Yeah.
Care.
Yeah.
We take care of 90-year-olds that are completely independent and need no care services. 85-year-olds who are still very, very vital but may need some care services.
Mm-hmm.
People who are experiencing mild cognitive decline but who we can help therapeutically to thwart the trajectory, that trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And people who need very deliberate and thoughtful services for Alzheimer's disease and memory care. If you look at the age cohort, and ours is on average 85, 87, but it ranges really from, honestly, the late 60s all the way to our oldest resident at 111, What you find is that the needs of those people are very, very targeted to each individual. There are many people who come to live with us who actually have mobility constraints, and through rehab in-house, they
improve.
They start dancing.
Mm-hmm.
We have others, especially couples, where we don't all age the same, so they may need different things. And our approach is really to be able to honestly deliver great services across that whole spectrum. The other thing is the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And because we maintain ownership as well as operate every community literally that we've ever made, We hold to a quality standard that's very high, but we also have a culture of celebration with our employees. I think it's safe to say that we have the longest tenure of any employees in our industry.
That's huge.
Fortune did give us the honor of a very high ranking, a great place to work. And what we know is because it requires a lot of pairs of hands and hearts to be excellent in this space, That if we take wonderful care of our employees, they in turn will take wonderful care of our customers.
Well, and let's give people a little bit of background here, Patricia, just in terms of the scale of this operation, that because I think sometimes people don't understand that there are benefits that come with a well-streamlined operation that's genuinely delivering one-on-one customer service. And I know it's almost a cliche term in everything that we touch is everywhere you go, oh, it's one-on-one customer service, but it's really not in many cases. It's sort of a regurgitated, you know, boilerplate. You cannot do that really in providing premier care when it comes to caring for seniors. The model demands that you take on that one-on-one genuine interest in each person's, you can almost say, custom-tailored approach. But to give Absolutely. People just a little bit of background regarding Belmont Village, as far as I understand, you started 20 years ago, 1997. You guys have about 28 communities nationwide, along with one in Mexico City, so it's not just even limited to national. And that you're opening one that is, I think, this month, is it?
February.
February.
Mm-hmm.
In Orange County.
Right.
So it is not a when somebody's listening you speak, you are representing a model that is actually infused into a large company that's delivering on the service, and for you guys to be recognized with that scale by Fortune magazine, I mean, that is kudos to you, because that is, you know, anybody who knows anything about caregivers, it is a high stress burn, you know, kind of situation. So for a workspace to be considered thus, as Fortune mentioned, that's huge. So congratulations on that, for sure.
Well, thank you. You know, I always say we're a work in progress, and we keep very attentive to doing better and better, but we are very excited with this recognition. It's really well-deserved on the part of our associates, and it's palpable for our customers.
How many people work for Belmont Village, roughly?
A little over 4,000.
It's not small. It's not a small operation, for sure.
No, and more than half of them are actually right there in California.
Oh.
Yes, so we're very, very excited with this, and we'll continue. We also, as I mentioned, and I think the two are connected, have very, very high tenure. I personally take every associate who's made 10 years or more in the entire company to dinner every year. We know each other. We celebrate our successes. We know each other's families and the stories of our kids. And I think that in the type of business that we're in, Yes, wonderful buildings that are well located, but that are totally dependent on terrific people to bring them to life. That high touch is just critical to our DNA and to our success.
And again, Patricia, it's funny because you know I mentioned that we have a hospitality show. I've been involved in hospitality and wellness and spas and probably since 1994. When you say DNA, when you say high touch, when you see things of that nature, those are very much transferable terminologies for that exactly. And you know, I keep reminding people that the basis for the word hospitality is to be hospitable. And you know, there's a long history of caring and looking out. So yeah, I'm very excited. And just again to echo what you said, you know, beautiful buildings, very well done. Does location for you when you are, because you guys are developer and operator, do locations factor in how you approach a particular facility, a particular community, that you cater to things that are maybe part of that community culture, that community feel, or is it pretty much a repetitive thing? Neither one is right or wrong. I'm just curious.
Now, nothing that we do is cookie cutter with respect to a building or its design. Mm-hmm. First, we're very respectful of the community that we're in. It carries through from architectural style right through to finishes. Long before we get to a location that we're building in, we also spend a lot of time in the community. Mm-hmm. Generally, we go through a fairly long zoning process. We get to know the city fathers, become part of institutions with respect to the not-for-profits in the schools. And that is all part of when we open mm-hmm. what comes into the building. With respect to the standards of our building, having now made 29 or 30, we do have program that we respect. Although I would tell you that adaptability and flexibility with respect to our spaces and how we use them is one of our hallmarks. We listen to our customers, both with respect to products and services. We build our buildings so that they will be adaptable. And then, to be honest with you, the building itself is not the end. We just very recently did a total renovation of a building that we only opened 9 years ago in Cardiff by the Sea. Mm-hmm. We want to continue to contemporize and flex the wonderful communities that we have.
Well, you're reflecting changes in the communities. Anybody who's familiar with that area, it used to be very sleepy and has changed a little bit, and the nature of people that are influx of people that are coming into the areas have changed. I mean, South County, Orange County is the same thing. Where I am in San Clemente, a lot of places, they are a living, breathing thing. And if you're reflecting community, I can see that. And, you know, it speaks also volumes to you guys, because what I'm hearing is openness to innovation, openness to improvement. It's not this is it and that's it, and the building and the housing of it's the program, it's the offering, it's the connectivity with the community, it's reflecting and being a partner and a steward, if you will, which really translates to a program that people not only can believe in, but also is providing the kind of caliber of care that people are looking for their loved ones. Perfect spot to basically ask you. So as the leader in the senior in services industry, give us sort of a helicopter view or 30,000 feet view of the industry today. You've been in it for 20 years. How has it changed? What are you excited about? What are some of the things that we are still battling over, you know, in this 20 years that we're still basically dealing with? Because there are some. We all know it, right? And so if you would take a minute, please, and tell us about that from your perspective.
Okay, well, we'll start always with the positive side.
Good thing. Good thing to do.
Relative to when I began, first, specifically for the category of assisted living and memory care, people did not know what it is. We never saw a senior that presented themselves. It was always somebody that was being dragged into the building by an adult child or someone in the family. And penetration in the industry was very low because people were reluctant participants, mm-hmm. a little bit like what we see in Mexico City today. by contrast, today we have a customer that is increasingly comfortable, has seen a lot of good product out there, has visited friends in communities or other family members, and so there's much greater customer acceptance, which is a great place to start. Particularly in the area of memory care, which is arguably the most poignant for people who are experiencing abnormal cognitive decline, there has been real innovation. And interestingly enough, while none of it has occurred on the medicinal or clinical side, there is no magic bullet yet. There has been a lot of advances on the therapeutic side. We have tried to codify that into a program that we launched about 10 years ago that we call Circle of Friends. Basically, is a curriculum, very carefully studied and trained to, that hits on the domains that allow people to retain and replenish cognitive strengths. We've measured it. We know it works. Again, it's not perfect. It's not a cure.
Right.
But it dramatically changes the quality of life for people that would otherwise be on a more slippery slope.
And if I may, Patricia, too, just to interject, when it comes to that, there are such things as early onset. There are things that are, you know, it's not a older person, you know, there's no age number by which you then are more likely to. It could happen to anybody. It could happen to any age. And I think sometimes we forget that there are certain challenges that are not necessarily a particular age number related. That what you're talking about, that care, you know, if you're older, if you're much older, you could actually argue that, well, you know, how long will they suffer? But if it's happening when you're younger, this is very critical that you go into a situation like this, because your quality of life over a longer period of time is directly related with the level and care that you are going to receive when it comes to therapeutic.
Well, I think that that's right. But I will also tell you, even for the elder senior, quite frankly, age is still the, or old age is still the highest risk factor for Alzheimer's disease, say. Even for the elder senior, as somebody begins to experience cognitive decline, they are somewhat symptomatic. You can stave off for quite some period of time. You can't change the direction, but you can change the curve dramatically by stimulation.
Can you give us an example, Patricia, something that comes to mind?
Sure. You have someone who is 85 years old, has been diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, and they participate in a program that we run in all of our communities where the program design gives them purpose, gives them physical exercise, the right nutrition, stimulation, very importantly, learning new things, and social connection. If you do all of those things in a systematic way, 7 days a week, A, it's very fun. You don't tend to withdraw. We know from actually measurement that you can improve cognition, certainly plateau for a period of time a disease process.
Now, is this service limited to people that are residents in the communities, or do you have an outreach program of this?
This service is limited to residents who live with us. Again, it's high touch, although increasingly we see friends and families coming in to attend. And I can tell you from experience, my father-in-law participated in this program, and I would go over to see him to try to take him out into the community with us, and he didn't want to leave because he was so enjoying it and getting so much out of it.
The reason I was asking is actually very personal, Patricia, if I may. My father is starting to deal with a little bit of dementia, and you know, they're very comfortable. They live in their home. He's functional, but what you're talking about, it hits on many levels: the social gathering, the exercise and fitness, their susceptibility to falls, the need for strengthening, and then also the mental stimulation. Not to be where you're basically reversing the situation, but like you said, you're definitely adjusting the curve on it. So that's why I asked that question. So thank you for that answer. You know, we have these fires going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, to say the least. May I quote you? Yeah, yeah. So with the fires, for example, that rage in California, and it's not just the fires. I mean, I remember really the horrific stories about the flooding in New Orleans in the lower wards and things of that nature. So how does a company like you test for caring for some of the frail members of a population handle emergencies like that? I mean, this is a very serious situation right now.
I can speak to this very fresh because we've just been through it and really have a very happy story to tell. Let me say first, though, you plan for it, you drill for it, you look at where your redundancies are, and everyone in the company, including me, becomes galvanized, drops what they're doing, and pays attention to how to best execute our primary responsibility, which is the safety and security of the people who live with us, but also our associates. What that meant over the last week, not quite a week, is that the fires, as everybody knows, broke out in both LA and Ventura County.
Yeah.
We have two communities that between them had approximately 230 people living in the communities, one that is pretty brand new that opened this year and the other that's around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We, in the middle of the night on Thursday night into Friday morning, we evacuated all of our seniors together with our staffs in Calabasas to sister communities in the LA Basin. And then on Friday morning, we evacuated our entire Thousand Oaks community, 130-140 people, and our associates to sister communities in Los Angeles.
Wow.
A lot of photography and stories coming out of that are very poignant and point to the resilience of our seniors. It was a giant pajama party, and people shared. Our staffs were very well prepared. As soon as we heard the word fire in those parts, all of the Belmont Village buses and drivers in greater LA were mobilized for an evacuation. We sent in additional nurses and caregivers and staff members, not just from California, but actually from all over the country. So everybody's running away from the fires, and we were bringing people in.
Yeah.
And we got our seniors to safety within our community, ran with approximately 50 extra people more in each of four LA-based communities, and then carefully stared at the situation to assure that our seniors were not, and staffs were not, returned until it was absolutely beyond a doubt safe to do so. We've had a lot of experience with this. We've been running communities in San Diego since 2000, roughly. God knows we've had our share of fires there.
Well, you got earthquakes, you got other, you know.
We've had, you know, in our first year of operation, an earthquake in Mexico City, and of course, Texas has been, and Houston has been, the hurricane.
Right.
I think that what you do is, one, prepare, and then make the safe evacuation if that's required. Very often our communities are evacuated too.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Santa Rosa fires occurred, we evacuated seniors from other people's communities to our Northern California communities. And again, it was taxing,
right?
But it all went without a hitch.
Well, and I'm sure the fact that you have that kind of a program in place and that you share that with people only makes them feel more at ease and comfortable that you do have a plan of action and that you're not just found flat-footed, you know, when it happens. It's smart business, it's safety-driven, but I think there's also, I mean, if it was me looking for a place, and I am in California, and it has to be somewhat convenient to me, and I'm looking at locations, that is going to be something that, actually, I probably would not have thought to look at. Right, because we take things in our stride, sort of, right? But it is actually, it takes on a different reality, a different perspective when it is in a senior living facility. And you know, the stories, like you said, with the flooding that was in Texas, in, you know, the New Orleans, and fires, and, you know, earthquakes, same situation. I remember the Northridge earthquake. I mean, I can only imagine how many facilities are impacted. To know that a company has actually taken that care to put a plan into action and everybody's trained and conditioned to basically respond is a big relief, I can only imagine.
Well, of course, now I'm breathing easier, and so yes, it's a big
on breeze. This side of it.
But
yeah.
The other thing I would say about it is that, believe it or not, families who are not with us or anybody's community necessarily today start thinking about placement. Seniors start thinking about placement.
Yeah.
Because if they don't have mobility and can't move on high alert, the worst place to be is stranded at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Shut in and at home. And yeah, no, that you're right. That's actually a more scary scenario.
It's a much more scary scenario. And we see, sadly, after every tragedy that occurs, an uptick in interest on the part of seniors and families both, who realize that they're much more vulnerable in their houses.
So let me ask you this question, and it's sort of based on what you just said. Are you seeing, again, from your perspective of being in the industry for 20 years, are you seeing the decision for housing, for selection of senior housing, are you seeing that more being driven by the person themselves that is looking for that housing? Or maybe it's a decision that's made earlier and shared with family. Is this something that is decided by a family member that's now entrusted with the care for an elderly parent? Are you seeing a change in that? Because it sounds to me like it might be, it's almost like medical directives, you know, like there's a little bit more of an involvement, a proactivity to this, perhaps.
I would tell you that relative to what we used to see, it's a sea change. We see many, many, many more seniors taking the matter into their own hands, making their own decision, and actually out there looking at alternatives than we ever did even 10 years ago, much less 20. I think that part of that is that they now understand what the product is. And it used to be that almost every customer we had would tell me that they were dragged to the community by a bossy adult child who they fought.
Yeah.
But today we see, first of all, to the extent that it's a family decision, seniors are much more participative in the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Have every right to be. But we even see more presenting by themselves. Now, that, of course, assumes the senior who has normal cognition. For seniors that are experiencing memory decline, that would be less so.
Right.
And there we see family members present. But I would tell you that even seniors who are beginning to experience memory decline, but not very severe, begin to recognize that home is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we see them presenting sometimes before they even tell their children that this is what's going on.
It makes perfect sense to me. It's an interesting shift, I think, to what you're saying in the last even 10 years. I would think from a company perspective, it also changes the way that you actually are educating and informing, right? I mean, the ears to which you are basically playing may be a little bit different now than they were maybe 10, 15 years ago.
They are, but what I will tell you is from the beginning, I never subscribe to the theory that you look over the senior's head and wink at the adult child.
Thank you for mentioning that.
I think that my parents, your parents, all these terrific people that raised us deserve more than that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
At the end, they are the customer. The family is the customer, too. I can remember for, you know, many years that I was in the business, my own mother telling me that my places were nice, but that she would never go to one. But when the time was right for her and my dad, she took the decision.
Yeah.
And she took it mightily. And it actually surprised me, but it was fully my parents' decision.
Mm-hmm. Was that in character for your mother, Patricia?
No, it was very much in character for her.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's a lot of people like my mother that I raised you. I raised your sisters and brothers.
Right.
And I'm still here.
Yeah, no, I'm asking because you and I haven't met in person, but I'm guessing that that you carry some of the same traits as your mother. So that's why I was asking if you very proactively made that decision.
She was a great role model and mentor.
Enough said. So let me bring it a little closer to home and ask you, so why Aliso Viejo for your first Orange County home?
Well, we have been trying to do something in Southern Orange County in the Aliso Viejo, Laguna Niguel area for many, many years. You know, we have 7 communities, LA, 2 down in San Diego, and are getting ready to announce a third. And Southern Orange County fits the customer that we have, the programs. Mm-hmm. Problem was, we were never able to find and entitle the right site. Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity to come to Aliso Viejo presented, we jumped on it. This is, we hope, not the first and only in Orange County. We expect to do others. But Aliso, for starters, the community begs for this. Very underserved in our view, mm-hmm. relative
Absolutely.
To what we offer. 2, Aliso is a great community to be in, very involved. We have worked extensively with the Chamber and the City Council, mm-hmm. with UC Irvine and others, and we're excited about that. And then finally, the site is drop-dead gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
We have an unimpeded view on all floors of the mountains, and we felt that to create the kind of environment that seniors want and that we want for our seniors,
right.
it was just picture perfect.
Where is the site, may I ask?
The site is on a street called Freedom Lane off of Liberty. So people are familiar with, there's a large Jewish community center down the street on Liberty. It's right up the street from that.
That is a gorgeous site. What was the challenge, Patricia, if you mind me asking, why it was so hard to get a site that was to entitle a site? Because I agree with you, South Orange County, I don't think people realize, and there was an article in Orange County Register about a year or two ago that actually spoke to the concentration of seniors in terms of just, you know, what percentage of the population in Orange County. And I think it was shocking for most people who read that article. They thought, wait a minute, this is not Florida. We have a very large concentration, and in South County, even more so. So what was the challenge, if you don't mind me asking? And keeping it positive, obviously.
Yeah, the challenge is similar all across the major population centers in California. First, it's very hard to find something that is buildable that isn't built on. These communities are not young bedroom communities. They're communities that were built out to a large degree a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then further, when various zoning plans were adopted, mm-hmm. nobody really thought about our category. We want to be in residential areas.
Yeah.
Most residential areas have prohibitions against any commercial development. Mm-hmm. Commercially zoned sites typically have to be rezoned for our use, and that takes time and modifications to city plans of all kinds. It's a variety of running the gauntlet on all of those things.
Now, with your facilities being the size they are, they don't fall under the category of group homes, do they?
No.
Okay.
Our communities are residential care for the elderly, but at 150 or 160 apartments and the common areas, they are not group homes.
Yeah, they're commercial development. The only reason I was asking, Patricia, because I know that there's been pushback on, quote-unquote, the terminology of group homes because of things like sober living. I always warn people, you know, be careful, especially when it comes to, like, a board and care situation, that when you basically lump everything together under group homes, you're basically not only talking about sober living, you may be talking inadvertently about other things that are included. So I just wanted to clarify, because I know absolutely your preference is to be in a residential area, and I know the benefits of that, like to have senior living in a residential area versus just off to the periphery of a community. This speaks more to your model and to your program and your culture. Now, I understand that you will be coming back to Orange County soon.
Yes, I'm actually on my way back out there tomorrow, and on Friday we will be at the Country Club in Aliso Viejo. And really what I'll be doing there is describing to people the choices that they have in seniors housing and care, mm-hmm. And how to approach it, how to think about it.
What time is this, Patricia?
Paula, help me here.
It's 11:30 to 1:30. It is a luncheon that's available with the presentation by Patricia, so we can call in for RSVPs, and we'd love to have everybody come.
Let me give that number out to anybody who's listening. The RSVP number for this, which is happening November 16th, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Aliso Viejo Country Club, which is a nice, very nice location, is 949-643-1050. Again, 949-643-1050. 443-1050. So RSVP, and you'll be able to meet Patricia and listen to what they have to offer at Belmont Village's new location in Aliso Viejo that's looking to open next February.
Correct.
Patricia, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's a pleasure.
I'm very honored to do it.
And I look forward to possibly seeing you when you're here on Friday, at least to say hello in person. Seriously, thank you for sharing so candidly and about Belmont Village and about your background and experience. I want to just take a few moments before we hit the hour here and turn this to Paula, but I just wanted to say thank you again and hopefully see you soon.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Patricia. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
All right. So with that being said, everybody, we're going to move on to my next guest, Paula Lemkill, and she is, again, the community, help me out here, community
relations associate.
Patricia just had so much.
She did. She covered
share.
A lot.
She covered a lot, and it's all really good stuff. So again, I want to thank Patricia for taking the time to call for us to call her and being available all the way from Texas. So this facility sounds pretty awesome.
It's going to be amazing. The view is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And we have 149 apartments that we're ready to fill up. So,
have you been with Belmont Village before this?
I have been with Belmont almost 5 years now.
Okay.
So, Patricia, if you're still listening, I'm coming after that dinner. I'm halfway there.
You get one course, and then she'll get the next course. Where were you before, Paula?
I was with another company that did in-home care and had a couple of boarding care. So I've been in senior living for almost 9 years
and
now.
And what community were you attached to or part of for Belmont Village before you?
It was a smaller mom-and-pop in-home care company called Nightingale.
Oh, okay.
In San Diego County.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're local. You just came up the coast.
I am. I live in Oceanside, and I still commute up here, but because of the traffic getting down to San Diego, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, So, again, toll road. No toll road needed.
Correct.
We're good. We don't need a toll road in San Clemente. Sorry, I had to put that in. That's awesome. So tell me, what makes this particular facility custom-tailored for South Orange County?
Well, like Patricia said, there really seems to be a need for Belmont to be coming into Orange County, so we're super excited. What really does set us apart, which Patricia's went over too, is our programming and also just our expertise and what sets us apart as the industry leader in senior living is our exceptional care and particularly our memory care program called Circle of Friends, which we're really excited to share with Orange County. It is our exceptional evidence-based therapeutic brain fitness program designed to build cognitive reserve in our residents who have mild cognitive impairment to a mild to moderate dementia. What is really different about this program that we haven't really shared is that this is amidst our assisted living program. Mm. So it's in a non-secured area for those residents who really don't need to be secured yet. They don't have those exit-seeking behaviors and things like that. The norm in most assisted living communities for residents who get diagnosed with dementia is to move them to a secured memory care unit. And that could be in a completely different building altogether.
Right. In many cases, in fact, it is exactly that.
Right.
In order to secure their safety.
Exactly.
To control the access to the wing or whatever part of the building it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So this way, that causes a lot more rapid decline in the residents who have their dementia.
Right.
Because their current independent abilities are not being maintained.
Well, you're isolating them. I mean,
correct.
Yeah. So what makes it possible, since that is a lot of times how people approach that particular population, how do you guys deal with it? Not having that be the approach.
An example, one of the niches within that program, which is very close to my heart, is keeping couples together.
Mm-hmm.
So couples don't age exactly the same way, just like Patricia said.
Right.
We may have one spouse that really does need a memory care program, but doesn't really need to be in a secured environment yet. And the other spouse is completely independent and doesn't need any care needs at all. Well, like I said, in the norm, if you got that dementia diagnosis,
you're being
separated.
Yeah.
And why that's so important to me is my experience with my mother, who just recently passed away from Alzheimer's disease. She was diagnosed at the age of 65. my family and I moved her and her, my stepfather, to Riverside County into an assisted living community. They found out on paper that she had dementia and wound up separating them, not only into two separate apartments, but in two separate buildings altogether. Mm. She was not declined in a way that she needed a secured environment yet, but there was nothing else out there that I knew of. That was before I even got into the business. And it was devastating to watch her and my stepfather decline with the separation of not, you know, waking up to your spouse and such. So it just warms my heart that we can meet with families and tell that spouse, that veteran, hey, you can stay with your wife that you've been married to for 65 years.
That really requires you to take to step away, and Patricia mentioned it, you know, from this sort of one-size-fits-all, you know, cookie-cutter categories. Mm-hmm. You actually have to allow for the shades of gray. You have to allow for, to your point, you know, somebody who maybe in initial stages but does not require secure space, and then, you know, the support and the just the familiarity of not being separated from a spouse that is not in the same condition.
Right.
And the sort of quantifiable, I think, depending on how you measure, quantifiable benefits of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most people think, well, but isn't it everywhere? No, it's not. It's not everywhere. It's, in most cases, it's not what is optional for you.
Right. No, it really is a gift of service that we do offer that is just not out there in other senior communities. So it really is unique to Belmont Village.
Mm-hmm. How big is this facility that's in Elisa?
We will have 149 apartments, studios up to two bedrooms.
Okay.
Gorgeous common spaces. We'll have a theater, so we have like a movie every night. We'll have a center for life enhancement, which is basically our gym, heated saltwater pool, scheduled transportation, outings. We actually have a lunch series coming up in the community as well that we'll be getting out to people. But one of our performances and presentation is from Soka University, their performing arts, which is down the arts. So we're super excited to show residents that they can go into an assisted living community and still have that lifestyle that they want. They can still go out. They can still see performing arts and do all these activities and maintain a quality of life and age successfully.
You know, I want to just expand for a minute and share something with people. It's an interesting development when it comes to, let's call it 55 plus to begin with, and then, you know, obviously it is geared towards an aging population. But a lot of universities actually have recognized, especially the ones that are maybe like either an Ivy League or that have the property, own a lot of property on their campuses, a lot of them are actually developing the equivalent of almost retirement housing. The appeal is that if you have a strong affiliation with, as an alumni of a particular university, which is not uncommon, right? USC, UCLA, you know, you have sort of an affinity and a loyalty to that university. There's a nostalgic affinity because of the years, impressionable years that you spend there. You may be open to actually looking for a retirement community on that campus, and then because of the age of people aging differently today than, to Patricia's point, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, there is also a period of time that you are now looking for that stimulation, that engagement, that in some cases potentially even like an encore career pursuit, and you've raised your family, you've raised your kids, and these universities are recognizing, not only can I actually sell you real estate,
right,
but I can also provide you a program of education. You spent your life basically providing for your family, had a successful career as an accountant, but you really always wanted to be an archaeologist, and you can now go take classes in that and maybe pursue it in a local, you know, dig site or some Native American, you know, volunteer opportunity in a reservation nearby or something of that nature. It's interesting how we look at aging differently.
Correct.
And yet the facilities in which we this quality of life happens have been playing catch up.
Yeah.
Unless like you guys, where you from day one you had a different approach, which you set out to accomplish.
And if I may say something to that, we do, with the collaboration of UC Berkeley, do have a community in Albany that's part of the alumni for UC Berkeley. So we're super excited with all of our relationships with the colleges that we partner with.
Well, and Soka down the street is also a beautiful campus. It has a very sort of Buddhist kind of approach to, you know, spiritual approach to it. I can I can see that as one added layer to when somebody's looking at Belmont Village in Aliso Viejo, that this is just another appeal for me if I'm basically housing a parent, or I'm looking at where would I be housed. Right. You know, and basically passing that on. This is where I want to be.
Well, really, with
I've already
age.
Picked my room. I've already picked my studio. Here's this, mm-hmm. that one, that view.
Right.
And here's my list of classes that I want to basically go to and functions and events. Yeah, age is not mm-hmm. is not just a definition of okay, I'm done.
Right. And we're anymore. You know we are starting to look at more rapidly now just the intergenerational aspect from even nursery school all the way up through our seniors.
Well, if you've got a beautiful facility that has a saltwater pool, there's no reason for, you know, grandma to swim alone. I might want to go in there and actually on a Thursday afternoon, you know, have that sort of bonding
Absolutely.
Moment, right? Family time, basically.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I think not only is it the right thing to do for multitudes of reasons, touch being one of them, you know, connectivity, okay, maintaining relationships. But I think there's also another aspect of it, and I may be a little bit more business-minded. It is smart business when it comes to senior mm-hmm. housing and senior facilities, anything that we touch. We have a much more sophisticated population that's looking at that as an mm-hmm. option, and they're being discerning.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to not only step up your game, but you have to be authentic in how you deliver on that service. Mm-hmm. So I know enough about you guys. And Patricia just echoed all of that when she was talking, that there is an authenticity here.
Yes.
It's not a tour at the beginning, and then once I basically have checked somebody in, now mm-hmm. that was just the show.
Right.
That was the sizzle.
Yeah.
No, there's substance to this.
You know, there's a lot to say about, you know, you going through what you are with your father, starting with mild cognitive impairment.
Which we're all going to, you know, if we're lucky enough to have our parents still around, at some point we're all going to be faced with a certain degree of this one way or the other.
Yes.
It's unavoidable.
Yep. Absolutely.
And okay, so community is on schedule to open early 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Understand you guys already have like an information center, and then Patricia Young with the event at the country club.
We do. Right. Our information center is probably about a quarter mile away down the street on Pacific Park Drive.
Yep.
So we have renderings in there, our brochures. We can go over, you know, the apartments, the floor plans and such.
How can people find out more about that particular community and also about Belmont Village?
They can give us a call at the number, the 949-643-1050, and ask for myself, Paula, or my counterpart, Trina. Also, my executive director, Sadie Harness.
Anything else before we call it a show, Paula, that you'd like to share?
I'm just so excited to be here in Orange County. We have been welcomed with open arms, like Patricia said, from the couple chambers that we've joined, and it's just been a pleasure meeting, you know, all the other communities out there, and we really have been hugged by Aliso Viejo.
That's fabulous, and congratulations to Aliso Viejo. This is a wonderful addition to their community. Really, you know, lucky South Orange County, to be honest. I want to remind everyone again that Patricia will be speaking this Friday, November 16th, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Aliso Viejo Country Club. Seating is limited, so if you do want to attend, RSVP, please. The number again is 949-643-1050. And if you can't make the event, you can reach out and talk to Paula at the Belmont Village Aliso Viejo team, or her team, by calling again 949-643-1050. Again, 949-643-1050. Check out Belmont Village. Let's give them the website again, Paula. What's the Belmont Village
website? www.belmontvillage.com.
And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. It was really fun, ladies. And thank you again, Patricia. I don't know if you're listening still, but thank you for reaching out to us from Texas. Can't wait to see the facility. Can't wait to possibly see you when you're in town. And with that, we will call it a day. Join us again next week for another episode of The Rad Life. This was very informative. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.